We're starting a couple of minutes late, but I know it's everybody's first time wandering around the halls of this facility, so it took a little bit to find the room. Anyway, welcome to the Finance Working Group's Sunday session. We have a fairly full agenda, but we have 2 hours, which is a little longer than normal, so I'm hoping we can get through the whole thing. We also have Xavier here, who's going to be part of several of the agenda items, but not all of them. So I sent around the agenda for today's meeting, and I do want to take a bit of chair's prerogative and reorder the first and the second agenda item, if that's okay with everybody. Any objections to that? No? Great, thank you. So we'll start with just a quick overview setting the stage, because I think there's been somewhat of a shift in the tone from ICANN in terms of this overall discussion. So I wanted to start with that. Then we'll move into some more specific details around the shared contributions that Xavier is going to speak to. And then I want to have a discussion in terms of the actual capacity of the communities to make financial contributions, because I think while there are there's the specific arithmetic and accounting for expenditures, there's also a parallel discussion to be had about what is the community's actual capacity to pay. And then move into item four, which is around what are the potential, you know, what might the distribution model look like? Because there is two sides of this equation. What is the number? And two, how are we going to distribute that number in a reasonable way amongst the CCTLD, CCNSO community members? And then finally, really talk about how might we message this? What are some of the tactics we're going to use to communicate this with the overall community in a way that helps other community members, other communities understand how we've gotten to where we are right now and how it should be seen as a fair and equitable financial contribution to ICANN given the unique nature of CCs. So those are the key agenda items. With that, I'll move into what was formerly item number two and that will now become item number one. And that's just a brief overview of Fadi's comments, as we've seen through his blog, on CCTLD-related issues, but in particular, specific comments that he made around the financial contribution issue. And I think the reason, you know, that he took the opportunity to make them here is since he first started participating in this community back in Prague, but most certainly in Toronto, he has heard consistently, and I would say loud and clear, some of the messages that the CC community has been delivering on other subjects, but this one in particular. I think it's fair to say that he's taken a very different tack from his predecessor, and that he believes that we add a very different value to the overall ICANN process than strictly a financial one or the kind of value perhaps the contracted parties bring. My sense is that he has internalized the notion that, you know, we both bring a shared and unique value to this equation, and that the things that we do in our own domestic environments, our own regional environments, bring significant value to ICANN that may be difficult to be quantified. Hopefully you had a chance to read his March 18th blog, but maybe I'll just take this opportunity in terms of setting the stage to read just a couple of sentences from the overall blog, beginning with, ICANN's focus should not be on the amount of CCTLD financial contributions. Rather, emphasis needs to be placed on areas where we can collaborate as true partners. Working together must take the priority over financial considerations that have been stumbling blocks in the past. We share a common goal of bringing value to the internet and its users. I think it's fair to say that that's a pretty different approach and tone from his predecessor. He's not saying we shouldn't make a financial contribution, but it certainly shouldn't be a stumbling block to the relationship, and I think the quantum implied there is certainly significantly different than the quantum that has been explicitly stated in the past. So to me, that has started to reframe the work that we're doing here. Not that the work that we've done becomes relevant, it absolutely doesn't, but if we think about the evolution of the work that this finance working group has done over literally almost 2 years, we've moved, I think, our thinking and the work from a place where we were very arithmetic and accounting focused to a place where maybe 9 or more months ago we moved to the notion of a value exchange, that not only was there a financial contribution to be made, but that CCs brought a significant additional value to the ICANN equation in terms of our own work in the internet space, in the multi-stakeholder space, be it running multi-stakeholder environments in our own countries, being truly the manifestation of an international global organization, the work that we do in participating in WICCA, our own regional IGS, domestic IGS, et cetera, all of the various things that we do that bring life and credence to the notion of a multi-stakeholder model. And that's where the notion of a value exchange was born 9 months ago, and I think that has really taken root inside ICANN, and that's part of where I believe Fadi is coming from in taking the what I would say is a significant turn from his predecessor, as we see in the printed word in his blog. So we've gone from arithmetic to value exchange to really an evolution of the value exchange where there's a strong recognition of what CCs do to really live and breathe life into the multi-stakeholder model, which ICANN must harness, for which it will be difficult to monetize the actual value of that, but there has to be, and there is, a strong recognition of that. And I think that ties into where we have been talking about the three buckets of expenses that we've talked about considerably in the past, which are specific, those very directly related to the functioning of the CCNSO, the shared expenses, like IANA or the board, where this community receives some benefit, but what exactly is that benefit? Of course, we know lots of benefit from the board. and clearly IANA. And then there's global expenses that are less directly tangible to the CC community. And what I'm seeing start to take shape is, you know, they're all the things that the CC community brings, and then there are the global benefits that ICANN brings, both of which may be difficult to quantify in terms of their specific monetary value. And at a certain point, we probably need to get comfortable with the notion that that's going to be a wash. That ICANN brings value. We can recognize that. We bring value. ICANN can recognize that. And we just need to get comfortable with the fact that, you know what, let's call it even on that bucket. We've already identified the specifics. So really what we need to talk about and focus on is what are the shared expenses that ICANN incurs that we should have some part in helping offset. And I think that this working group, even though we've been almost 2 years in the making, have really started to narrow it down to what is that bucket of expenses. And if we can come to terms on that, a very significant portion of this work effort will have been realized. And then we need to talk about how we're going to allocate that in a reasonable way. given the wild diversity of registry types that we have in terms of domains, revenues, governance models, etc. So I think that sets the stage for Xavier to take us through bucket number two. Since we've been through bucket number one, specifics a number of times, what are the shared expenses and what would that look like from ICANN's point of view at this point? Xavier?
Thank you. Okay, so last call that you guys said that I've participated to, we looked at the specific bucket, and then after that, the components that we thought made sense to be that are shared, and certainly the way I want to look at this bucket a bit more specifically now is it's not just. I want to emphasize that my perspective on it's not it's ICANN's view. It is I'm bringing numbers so that this group together can determine what makes most sense from the perspective of what are those buckets that are in the shared, what are those items that are in the shared cost, and how do we think it makes more sense to allocate them. So I will slightly rephrase. It's not. I don't want you guys to think it's ICANN's view and I'm going to try to impose anything on you guys. It's a suggested attempt so that we can look at a model that exists on paper together and finalize it to the extent that it makes sense to this group as a whole, not to me, honestly. So specific at the top, we talked about it, shared now. Specific again, so the shared, and that's the last slide of this presentation, so this is the one that we're going to try to focus on. I actually can use a portable mic if it's possible. I'll go to the screen. Is there anybody remote? No. Okay. So this is a bit technical, but I'll try to describe this. So on the left, we have the various items of costs. I call them the shared areas of costs that we had discussed last time. For those of you who were part of the call, if you remember, we said the main items that we're talking about are governance, ICANN meetings, IANA and IDN that are areas of costs where clearly the CCs have a benefit or a participation that's specific, though not exclusive, therefore shared. So that's those that I've used and tried to put numbers in front of. The next column is just trying to put a little bit of comments on the assumptions. I will come back to that. Under the heading of total costs, there is, on the left, the reference, meaning where did I pull those costs from to use for the purpose of this model. There's different sources of information, and I indicated them here. The next column is the total amount of the cost bucket that corresponds to that. as per the reference utilized, and that we are going to allocate in the next columns. This, the next column on the right is the suggested key to allocate the cost, which we need to review together and determine what makes most sense. This is a suggested attempt. For that key, next column, we have the numerator, basically, of the equation that is specific to the CCNSO, and the total, the denominator of the equation, the total number of items for that key. So the board is an easy one to pick. We have 16 voting board members. We have two board members that come from the CCNSO. 2 divided by 16 is suggested to be the key to allocate the board costs. I think it's relatively simple. And I'm not saying we have to stick to it, but I want you to understand the mechanics. So 3 million, this is, I should have indicated, it's in thousands of dollars. 3 million times 2 divided by 16 is 377. Same approach, of course, for the other line items. You have some areas that are shaded in blue, others that are shaded in green. I don't know if they appear really as such from where you're sitting. So in blue, it is the costs incurred by ICANN. In green, it's the costs incurred by the CCs that I'm trying to reflect. And there's some blanks there that we may need to fill further. At the minimum, when we come to the ICANN meetings, I will need input from you guys so that we refine the number, because it's a very basic assumption that I took on my own relative to meetings that I'm going to need your input on. So let me stop there. Any questions? No.
Can you just, being the furthest away, those numbers are still small.
Sorry.
The assumption is 200 on CCTLD hosting kind services, service costs. Is that 250?
Yes, it's 250 as an average. So what I'm thinking we may want to do is try to take the last 6 meetings. I think you said you spent about $550,000 for,
yes,
right? So for Toronto, then there are .cr. I think said that they had spent $300,000. I had this figure in mind, but I wasn't too sure. And then there's those meetings that we have that don't have a host at all. So when you average that out, what is the number? I've used 250, but you tell me what it is. I don't have that data, and I think we need to gather it.
I just wanted to understand more, just because I couldn't see the number
on
directly.
But I'm taking advantage of your question to explain a little bit how I've come up with that amount. But I will replace it by what you guys tell me it should be, right? Because I don't know what it is. Since we're talking about that, it may not be very clear on the spreadsheet, but there's a minus sign here. So, of course, it comes as a deduction, as an offset of the costs incurred by ICANN. Since we're talking about the meetings, what I had to do for practical purposes, I've used a normative approach for the meetings costs just because instead of the forecast for 2013, that I have, because in 13 we have only 2 meetings. So it's an abnormal year when we look at annual costs. 14 will also be abnormal because there will be 4 meetings. So that's not very helpful. So I basically took an approach which is, because I know they had the, and we have meetings costs models, which we have talked at length with Chris, and hopefully we will manage to speak more about when we have more data to share.
The costs of the meetings are approximately $2.5 million each. Some are a little bit more expensive, others a little bit less expensive. Singapore is a little bit more expensive because the hotels cost a bit more. Toronto turned out to be a bit less expensive than we thought it would be, so it was in the 2.3, 2.4 million. The bottom line is, averaging it out, 2.5 million. Three meetings, 7.5 million. What I have done in addition to that, which is a rough attempt at something that hopefully we will be better at in the future, is trying to measure the estimated cost of the staff support that's not included in the 2.5 million that I have mentioned earlier. So I have taken an attempt at what should normally be a cost accounting exercise of understanding the time that is spent by the staff, that is, by the way, not the staff that's in this room, but the staff that's not in the specific, because, you know, Bart and Gabriela and Christina are part of the specific dedicated. This is the shared, so it's the staff other than them who supports the meetings. So there's in total 80 staff members at this Beijing meeting that come to work here during this meeting, about 80. And I didn't take the total of the 80 because not all of them necessarily contribute in the same fashion to the overall meetings organization. So I took a portion of the staff's cost, an estimate of the staff's cost on an average basis. And that's what brings up the amount from 7.5 million, which is 3 times 2.5 million, to 9 million, basically. So that's the basis, normative basis for the cost here of the meeting. And then, subject to refinement as well, of course, I have assumed 150 participants for the CC community, so you guys need to tell me what is the best number to take as well, because I don't know what it is precisely. And I have assumed as an average that we have 1,500 participants to a meeting. Without breaking news, we're going to have more than 2,000 participants in Beijing. That's the biggest ICANN meeting ever. So now my number, just on the basis of what I said, is already obsolete. So we probably need to refine these two amounts, these two numbers, to what they should effectively be. But for the sake of this discussion, I have used 150 and 1,500. That gets us to 10% and 900,000. For the ICANN, for the portion of the costs incurred by ICANN that is allocated to the CCNSO, we've already talked about that piece that comes as an offset, which is the costs incurred by the CCs for the same purpose of the ICANN meetings. The net of the two is about 150K contribution into the model. I'm assuming you guys will stop me if need be.
Sure. If you could give us, I think what we would want to know is, how did you come to the numbers? And you've given us a reasonable explanation for the meetings. If you could do the same for IANA and IDN.
Yep.
And then in terms of the working group itself, any questions of understanding, clarification, we should do those. But not necessarily, I don't think at this point we want to go into debate of assumptions yet. Thank you.
Yeah, no, what I wanted to make sure is you have an understanding of the suggested model that I've put together here, and that you can challenge the assumptions so that then we can refine it. So the IANA function, and I will comment further on that, and the DNS operations functions that are included in the cost of $4.5 million that is here. So from a construction standpoint, we have a department, that's the IANA department. We have another department, that's the DNS ops department. And we capture under those departments the personnel costs, travel and meeting expenses, any relative professional services costs, administrative costs, and so on. These aggregate for IANA and DNS ops to an amount, and I have also included in there in overhead and infrastructure overhead rate for those departments. The infrastructure overhead is the cost of finance, HR, IT support, and so on. So basically, really purely overheads of having employees. You have costs to support those employees, and it's an overhead rate of 25% that I have used, just so that you guys know. And that there's basically the contribution of those departments into that 25% rate. So that the two departments grossed up with the 25% rate over the head that I have included in there add up to $4.5 million. The allocation key that I have used and that I'm suggesting to use, but honestly, I would assume that you guys have a more substantial view of what that should be, what the allocation should be, is the number of domain names. And because there's, as I understand it, there is a relatively commonly used split of the domain names between G's and C's, that's in the 40 for the C's and 60 for the G's percent of the number of domain names. Again, if there is a better key, I'm all ears, and if there is a better or refined a manner to measure what that percentage should be if we want to use that key, I'm all ears as well. Right now, I have used that 40%. For the purpose of the model. That results in a contribution or an item of $1.8 million. I had a quick discussion with Bart a little bit earlier today. I wanted to make sure I used this tool. So is there any costs that are incurred by the CCs in relation to IANA that we should, in a similar fashion to the meetings, take into account in the overall model? So I'm asking the question either now or later. Let me know if there's anything that you think we should take into account. IDN, this is, so I've used for that specific item the preliminary budget for fiscal year 14. It was just more practical for me because in 13 we have the IDN costs in two different departments. In 14, we have created a specific department for IDNs, and therefore I just have that information available for 14. This includes costs for fiscal year 14 for the department that deals with IDN, who will deal with the IDNs both for the CCs and for the Gs. So on the basis of that, I have, with the help of Bart, we've just put together the an estimated number of CC IDNs of 35, the number of IDNs that exist. There's in the new GTLD application process, there's 108 generic CCs, generic IDNs. And the aggregation of the two is 143, and we're just doing a prorated calculation of 35 for the CCs divided by the 143 total, equal that proportion for the IDNs. The total of all that is 2.7 million. Subject, of course, to then the refinements of the calculations, the potential changes in the keys if we think there's better keys than that.
So just to be clear, that's also in addition to the 990,000 in specific.
Exactly.
It's additive.
So the two aggregated together on the basis of that is draft 3.7 million.
Are there any questions of understanding or clarification for Xavier? Leslie?
I may be misremembering. How does that work with the IANA contract purchase order from the DOC stating there's going to be no cost?
Correct. And so the way we capture the IANA resources in ICANN, the department that I mentioned, IANA department, is basically all and only the resources that support the deliverance of the contract, basically, that we have with the DOC. So those resources only support delivering the contract provisions and no more.
I understand that in a cost accounting term, but the contract with the DOC states there will be no charges, which gives you a bit of an optical difficulty. If we're going out with charges in the region of 1.8, potentially. I'm not saying there's no cost. Of course there's cost. What I'm pointing out, the obvious, is that there's a contract that says zero, which may lead some people to say, well, that contract could go elsewhere and it would be cheaper for CCs.
Chris?
Yes, correct. But I think that this is a... my suggestion would be to flag it as it's a terminology issue. I don't think there's any question, at least there certainly hasn't been in my understanding, that the CCs recognise that IANA is something that they should be, in whatever way, contributing to. So I think you're right, it's an optical issue, but I agree with you, it needs to be flagged. We've got to be very careful we don't start bandying documents about that refer to a cost for IANA.
Right. So from a construction standpoint, I view this as a methodology to come up with an amount. It's not an invoice, right? Having said that,
appreciate that. I'm just identifying a bear trap.
No, absolutely. Thank you for that, because we'll have to find a way to
package
the information. Yep.
Another question from Keith.
Right.
Alan?
Actually, just a technical one. You explained the 25% gross up of the direct cost on IANA. Did you use a gross up factor in any of the other categories? And if so, how much was it?
Yes. So it's when I use the overheads gross up, it's 25%, and I have used it on governance, I think. I mentioned the staff. I mentioned the staff estimate that I added to the ICANN meetings cost. So there's, I said $7.5 million for the meetings cost, then the staff cost on top. So the staff cost is in total about $1.5 million in that $9 million. The $1.5 million is the gross cost of the staff estimated by me plus the 25%. So if I take out of that $1.5 million the 25%, it's in the $1.2 million. If you see it, so.
All right. So, grosso modo, how much of the total ICANN overhead is in that first column on the left?
$300K here, it's about $500K here. About same thing, $200K or $300K there. And in the governance number, let me go back to the spreadsheet, but it must be in the, I would say, $400K. So when you add those together, you get $1.4 million maybe. So in 25%, if you think about it differently in aggregate, I used the forecast is in the $66-67 million. So 25% is $16 million. As simple as that. 16.5, something like that. It's finance, IT, or a portion of IT, not all of IT, HR. A portion of management.
Other questions? Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just to try to understand the methodology. We have in the box of ICANN meetings some amounts of money that is put on the table by ICANN, but other ones by the CC community. Don't we have the same methodology in the IANA functions, just to mention that. We, as CCs, run DNS, and we are part of the DNS ecosystem. And then we have costs for that, too. And if the real main function is to maintain the DNS working, we incur in cost of that and that side, too. Then it could be part of the, that Y line on the box of IANA, not the work that we do just for the IANA works. It's the work that we do for maintain the DNS as we are part of the system, too.
So that's a fair question. Bart, did you want to respond?
It's, in a way, say, what is not included here is, for instance, if I am correct, with Elwood's operations. Elwood's operations is part of global. In that sense, it's like the DNS operation of CCs is part of what you do globally. This is a really specifically, yeah, it's a bit of the trade-off between global and shared, what you consider shared, what you consider global.
I'm trying to make sure I understand correctly what you're saying, because the implication, if I understand correctly, the implication of that would be that if there is any, we should then take all the costs by all the operators that manage the DNS, aggregate them, and then allocate that cost. I must admit I don't know yet how to do that, but I wanted to make sure I understand correctly your point. And is that, am I understanding it correctly?
Yes, you understand it correctly, and it goes to the point that I tried to bring on discussion the last phone call is we are talking about to maintain in this discussion, we are talking about to maintain the CCNSO thinking of working group within ICANN, or we are talking about the CC community as a whole and where they implies for the ecosystem of the internet. And then if we are just talking about how can we maintain and allocate the cost to have a bureaucratic body to talk about CC's issues or topics. Probably yes, we don't need to have many of these costs, and we can't probably don't use the information. What are the costs of the CC's they incur, and only consider the budget of ICANN and how to allocate the ICANN's budget. But if we think that we are pursuing to identify how can the CC as a whole community be considered and be part of the ecosystem, and how I can, and how all of we are considering them, well, we should have a different focus. And that would be very difficult, yes, I agree. But the point is, are we just discussing how are we going to allocate the cost of ICANN between just of us, just the people who are participating in the ICANN meetings, in the ICANN organizations? What happened with all of them, all of those guys who are part of the CC community who are not participating, who are not part of the system? Are we going to pay for them because they are receiving the same services? If we are having meetings in different countries all around the world, is trying to make them easy to come, making them easy to participate, not just to make more difficult to all of us to go all around the world having the meetings for the same people. That's all of us.
Keith?
I thought we had sort of found an agreement that we wouldn't. We're looking for a formula for ICANN to look at. We're not looking to be a collection agency for CCTLDs who are not part of the CC and so on. So that becomes ICANN's problem as to how they might collect money from CCTLDs who are not inside the CCNSO, or in fact inside the CCNSO. It's not this group's issue, I think. So probably quite important. I think that's actually in this working group's mandate, isn't it? And it's not. Oh, okay.
It is an issue. The invoicing is an issue.
So, so before we go too far down that...
I had another remark, and that's probably important.
Yeah.
So in the broader perspective on Eduardo's remark, there are CCs who do not participate in the CC&SO, who don't have an accountability framework, but who voluntarily contribute. So it's very difficult to... Yeah, you have to refine the set of CCs you're talking about up to a very granular level to make these distinctions. And I think that was the basic assumption when we started.
Well, and, could I was just going to add the point, though, too, that I thought the issue of what the work that CCTLDs do in relation to the DNS is slightly an aside, because you are required under RFC 1591 to discharge those responsibilities. So I'd struggle to say that that should be part of an equation of funding, because when you take on the responsibility of being the CCTLD manager, you are assuming that responsibility that you'll run the DNS on a basis that it'll be robust and resilient and so on. So I think that's too much a longbow, and it's...
Thank you, Keith. Are there any other questions for Xavier before he departs us in terms of clarification or understanding of how he has come to a number on the shared expenses? I'll take that as a no. Final comment?
I just want to make sure that you can think with the group of a process to... collect comments, because they may have not come now, but there may be more down the road. So there's a process to collect comments, because, and you know, if there's no more, I'm just going to suggest, well, let's go with that. But if there's more comments on, I would expect, for example, that maybe the keys that have been used are not necessarily the ones that make the most sense. It's just my suggestion. This group should be able to formulate his view of what those keys should be, the numbers being used, and so on. So I just want to make sure that there's a process to collect feedback if it comes, so that we can move forward to the next step.
I'm quite confident there'll be feedback. So two final points before Xavier goes. He will be coming back at the end of this session. First Mathieu, and then Lise, and then we'll move to the next agenda item.
First of all, Xavier, thank you for trying out on this very touchy exercise and putting numbers the first time. It's, I know, quite a challenging task, and really, really appreciate it. My suggestion would be to try and project these figures in 3 to 4 years' time, because it's going to change a lot. We expect about 1,000 GTLDs to be in the route by that time. The number of participants that I can meet will certainly grow, and this growth will probably be carried by new GTLD applicants. So I think one interesting exercise as well would be to try some wide guesses on this in order for us to build an estimation of what it is would be now, but also what it's likely to be in the future. I think that would be an interesting value added to this exercise.
Sure, I can take a shot at it.
Thanks, Mathieu. Good point.
I was just wondering, because I have a very hard time relating to the numbers I see, because you put in a lot of the words on the final amount. Can we see the Excel sheet you have behind this? And so, because to me it makes more sense to see how these are divided. So do I find that they're reasonable, or?
So your question is about what's in the 3 million, what's in the 9 million, and so on and so on. And but what type of breakdown are you looking for?
Well, I don't. You said you had an Excel sheet. Is that very
So I had
big, or you just like you have your numbers in the annual report.
Right. And so So the numbers that I have used are coming from. So when it's from the forecast, I have a forecast for the expenses. I just mentioned that it was 67 million for the fiscal year 13. The forecast it's below the budget. Budget was at 74. So I have reviewed that forecast, for example, with the BSC 2 days ago. So I have a forecast that has all the departments of the corporation, and that's what adds up to 66 million. And when I took the governance number, I added the board support, the NOMCOM, and the ombudsman part of that forecast. So there's a number for each of those three departments. And for each department, there's a personnel cost, there's a travel cost, there's professional services where it applies, there's admin costs. So I can provide that to you if it's helpful. What I wanted to make sure I display here is that so that we can focus on this is the mechanics and the logic for you, but then we can drill down on the numbers as much as you would like, and there's no problem with that.
I'd like both.
Way back in the midst of time, one of the things that I think we talked about is ideally we don't want to necessarily plumb the GL codes of ICANN, but we also, on the flip side, want to be confident that the numbers we're seeing here are in fact the actuals coming, flowing from them. So I mean, there's probably a balance to be drawn. These are consistent with the forecast. So if we went to the forecast, we would see numbers consistent with what we see here, the revised forecast.
Yes, so I can do two different things that are easy enough. I can put I can extract the figures that are underlying to those into a spreadsheet and share it with you. You and I can sit down and look at my computer at any point of time as well, and you'll see that the way it's constructed, because I have the details in that spreadsheet.
Sounds like a date. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, on that note, thank you. You'll stick around and thank you. And I just want to echo Matthew's comments. This is the first time that somebody from ICANN has really put forward some numbers in this bucket after 2 years. Longer than that, I'm strictly talking about the history of this working group, in spite of the fact that we've been through, what, two CEOs, at least a couple of CFOs, a couple of financial accounting systems. I'm not sure if this is a cultural-centric joke, but for those of you who maybe have seen the movie or the TV show Survivor, Outwit, Outlast, maybe that's a North American centric joke, but okay, sorry.
What you just said also demonstrates that it's not a matter of systems or availability of information, it's a matter of what you want to share.
That too. Thanks, Xavier. Okay. So without going back to 2002, yes. So that is, however, the first time they've really come up. I think it is, for better or for worse, over the last couple of years, it's the first time they've actually come up with a number for us. I think it also bears mentioning that they have taken a significant step forward in that they have wiped away anything for the global expenses. So they have stepped back for the first time from all things associated with the global expenses. And I'm not trying to make his case. I'm just saying we should recognize that they have walked away from anything on a global front. They have clearly identified what the specifics are, which I think on that bucket we can agree with. And on the shared, just in terms of a framework, it seems not unreasonable. Now, we may want to validate the specifics. We may want to question what he's calling the key or the factor that he's using to make sure that they're more reasonable than perhaps his first cut. But in terms of a framework, are there any comments against that framework? All right, now let me do it in the positive. Can we go forward using that framework? While we may still question the assumptions and the keys and validate the GL code level behind the number, but the framework. Keith.
Well, I like it as a framework. I think we've got something to work with. It's tangible and it's meaningful. So finessing it from here and arguing about the quantum and looking at the detail and so on is all part of that. But for the first time in my history, Mike, and I actually feel comfortable that we actually have something.
Isn't that the entire history?
yes, all right. I suddenly feel some comfort, whereas I haven't until this point.
Well, thank you for that. I think that in itself is a strong signal. Okay, let's move to the next agenda item. Okay, fair point. So Bart has just made the comment. Well, you can make it for yourself, but I'll paraphrase. My understanding of it is, if we are okay with this framework, what step do we want to take going forward in terms of validating the numbers? I'm going to leave that question with you and come back to it, because we will want to make sure we're comfortable with the assumptions and the numbers. But I know that Lee's already got a date pending in terms of validating the GL numbers. Okay. Just the highlights, yeah. So I'm going to leave that with you, and we're going to come back to it in this meeting, but you can think about that. The next item on the agenda for discussion was something that I titled the financial capacity of the CCTLD community for the contributions. Because it's one thing to come up with the number itself, and the number can be anything. I mean, it's been thrown out 10, 9, 2.7. The number is one thing, but what is the actual capacity of the community to fund the number? And I think that that is part of the issue that we've been having, and I think it's a relevant issue for this group to discuss, because making the assumption we will come to some conclusion that we want to put forward to the CCNSO at large, part of it is, can the community actually fund the dollar value? As we know, this community has a very long tail in terms of the total domain portfolio held by all CCs. There are a few very large ones, and then there's a very long tail of smaller ones. So what is the actual capacity of a community with such a wide distribution of revenues and domains under management to pay in an equitable way, recognizing that there are going to be CCs that don't participate? We have to have comfort with the fact that, call it what we will, there will be free riders in this space, in this community. We have to be okay with that, I think. We, as the CCNSO or the council, are not in a position to force anybody to pay, so we have to understand that there will be free riders in our community, though we can certainly encourage and try to motivate all to participate. Carola?
Just to make, there's a difference between being okay with something and realizing that you cannot do anything about it.
Obviously. That's a fair point, and I guess I was getting making that assumption that, yes.
My point being that at the end of the tale, I think it's quite logic that there will be CCs that we would call free riders, and we would understand and be okay with them being free riders. But at the other end, I think there will also be free riders, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we or I would be okay with it, but there's nothing we can do about it.
And that's a fair point. I don't think anybody would suggest that we should be pleased about it or just okay with it. I think we have to accept it. I think there's also a part of the work that we do here, and it is actually in our charter, that we should try to motivate or inspire our colleagues in other CCs who are not participating in the contribution regime to participate. Because for everyone that doesn't, it puts some more onus on those who do to potentially fund more or explain why we as a community are not funding more. And there are CCs who have significant domains under management who aren't necessarily funding much. So this is the discussion I want to have. This is, what is the capacity and what are the issues behind some of the capacity? And how are we going to get to a point recognizing a number of these issues yet be able to come to conclusion and make a recommendation? Keith. Okay, Matthew, did you have your... I thought I saw a twitch then. Okay. Peter.
If I look at the last totals of contributions that I could find, which is from 2011, so I'm not sure how that evolved in 2012, but the total was about 1.6 million already, which is, I think, encouragingly close to the numbers that we're trying to reach compared to what we previously had in mind. So thinking about the capacity, I think it's a reasonable bridge to try and reasonable gap to try and bridge from now over the next couple of years. This won't happen overnight, of course, but with the transparent figures that have been produced, I think we have a really good way to start.
So, just to put some context around that, I think you're right in that. If we said it's approximately 3.7 million that he is suggesting is, so it's 2.7 plus the 900 from specific, so 3.7 roughly. So while the actual dollar value, I would argue, is not huge, a little over $1 million, $1.5 million. The percentage increase is large. And there are a relatively small number of operators, CC managers, who are paying the significant majority of the total number. Roloff, you're looking like you're not buying this, but...
No, I'm not sure I'm buying it. I'm not even following you, so... because you said it was 2.7 plus another million. Somehow I missed that million, but it's 3.7. We're now at, I remember that the latest figure we had on 2012, I think, was 1.9 million. So there's about a 2 million difference, not the 1 million difference.
Sorry, let me just clarify what I was saying, if I wasn't clear. There's 900,000 in the specific bucket, expenses. And there's 2.7 million that he just showed us in the shared bucket for a total of 3.7. In 2012, I believe we're going to be about 1.9, leaving about a 1.6 million, 7 million delta.
Million.
So those are the numbers that I'm talking about. Did you have a...
Just for argument's sake, if you look at the numbers, and then probably it makes it clear, the current contribution, you could make it around 2 million.
So
and the total, if you add the two, you're at 4 million, roughly. So then you see the gap. It's doubling the contribution, and that is, and then going back to your argument, is there a capacity to double the current contribution? Because that's what, if you assume these numbers, that's what you really have.
Right. So I think that's pretty close to what I was trying to articulate, is that it's a roughly doubling. While the total dollar value, I would argue, is not a huge number, it's a very significant percentage increase. And given that we have a very long tail, there are not a lot of registries. You think of this as a, and I should have put a graphic together, of a curve that goes up and to the right very steeply. All right, so this is a long tail, and there are a relatively small number of registries who are paying the majority of, quote, the area under the curve, or the total dollars being contributed to ICANN. So if you double that, the fact is those registries will be on the hook for the significant portion of the actual dollars in the doubling of the value. So then the question would be, large registries, well, we have two of the largest in the room, you know, how would you feel about doubling your commitment right now? That's a rhetorical question you don't need to answer right this second. I make it for all. There are a number in the middle, the mid-size registries, who would see some change, and there are certainly, let's say, in the 1.5 million and under, who would probably see a noticeable uptick if the whole curve was going to increase in a meaningful way. And so when I talk about what is the capacity of this community to pay, we can look at it and say, you know, between us, we have 80 million domain names and all the revenue associated with that. Is increasing our payment $1.5 or $7 million, depending what the final numbers fall out to be, is that within the capacity of this community to fund? Is that a reasonable expectation, assuming the numbers play out to be true, over the next... And the one thing I haven't talked with Xavier about is, you know, whatever arrangement we come to, it needs to have at least a minimum 5-year shelf life. We do not want to come back to this for at least 5 years. So over that period, is that a reasonable increase for this community to fund if the numbers are justified? Keith?
Yeah, I think, this is one of the age-old problems. I mean, so, you know, talking about the number of registrations in a registry doesn't have any indication or bearing on their potential revenue and so on and so on. But, we're sort of forced into a position of having to find a one-size-fits-all kind of solution, and we're probably not very happy about that. But I think at the end of the day, our job is to come up with the formula, not with the collections model. It's up to ICANN to then sell that invoice to the individual registry. So I think all we can do is communicate with the 136 members of the CCNSO, work with them on finding the best possible model that doesn't overly adversely affect the large and already probably paying too much, and getting something from the small, recognising there's probably an outreach component for the very new and emerging registries and so on, and that we might have to bear some of the cost of. But in any case, our job is probably to come up with a formula, not the undertaking that this is the amount that will be received by ICANN.
Thanks, Keith. Leslie?
Yeah, I think you're right, Keith. I think it's our responsibility to come up with a formula, and that formula may well have a transition period over X years. Because I'm just kind of thinking about going back to the nominate board and saying, okay, so now we're going to double. You might get an adverse
risk. Careful, I have two of my board members in the room listening.
Well, I'm sure, and I'm sure their reactions will be much the same as my own. So it is easier to talk about a transition over a period of time, particularly given Mathieu's point earlier. These costs are going to change quite significantly over time too. And that would make sense to have that kind of graduated transition as well.
I agree, and I think you've made a very good distinction. When I talk about the capacity, it is, in a sense, a theoretical capacity. The framework will deliver the number if everybody participates. But we have, you know, what I'm trying to get to is there a reasonable number? Will the framework underneath it work, or above it work? But then absolutely, it's ICANN's problem to collect and justify. But we want to find a framework that for individuals would be reasonable, and if it's followed, if, then it will deliver a reasonable number that is not inconsistent with the expenses that Xavier has articulated. I'm not saying they will collect $4 million. What I am saying is that the framework, if everybody participated, would be able to deliver on the expenses associated with what Xavier has shown us.
I think that's the reality of the situation, though. If there's some reasonable evidence after we've forensically gone through ICANN's accounts and yeah, we have the detail that it actually is more or less what we could consider to be fact, then we really don't have an option, do we? I mean, that's the cost of the service, and so I think if we can look at it in a different way, if we look at, say, .nz as one of the sort of mid-size or smaller registries with 500,000 names, we currently pay something like $25,000 on this, or $30,000 on the scale of fees, and that to me seems outrageously not enough. It's not appropriate, if you know what I mean, for what we have from ICANN. So, and what that amount would be in terms of our overall turnover and so on. Debbie might not like me to be saying that, but there are probably some registries like us who look at the amount that UK and DU pay and think, wow, that is quite a substantial amount, considering a lot of what we are talking about should be flat sort of poll tax related. It should be just divided by 246 CCTLDs, and we all pay an even share. So, you know, so I think taking that into account, it's probably about us finding ways of saying we have to pay this. You know, we've said, you know, we've tested ICANN, they've come up with a sustainable amount that it's costing, so therefore we've got to pay it, and we've just got to find a way.
Thanks, Keith. Please.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry to be a party killer about my forensic. but I think it's quite important that we're absolutely sure that the framework, that the numbers behind the framework is, fair. I know we can assume something, but I need to see it. I need to feel it. And because we have a difficult task now going out telling people to contribute to this, seeing the ITU Wicket discussion, and I think we need to see this all in a context, and I think it when we find a model, we should be very much aware that we have a lot of competition from other organizations that will challenge the multi-stakeholder model. So in putting that in mind, I think we just need to, of course, find a fair solution, but also find a solution that is not putting more pressure on the competition on the multi-stakeholder model.
That's an interesting point. Having sat through the wicket, I think, what is it, $35,000 to be an associate member, you don't get to speak or vote. Anyway, no, I'm not going to go there. So I'm very encouraged that you're going to take on the task of digging a little deeper and validating what is being said, because absolutely, whatever recommendation we end up making, we have to be confident because we are going to be selling it in some way, shape, or form, and we need to be entirely confident in the data and the facts that we're going to stand behind or support.
May I say something?
Yes,
you're looking hesitant, Mario. But may I recommend, or at least propose my opinion, that we shouldn't dig in too deep and too long. Because if you look at the total budget, the regular budget, which is now called the historical budget of ICANN, it's somewhere in the 70 millions. And then something like 3-point-something for the CCs gives me the first impression that that is quite a reasonable amount. And I think we should verify some of the underlying factors, but let's not go too deep. I mean, we don't ask any of our suppliers, I think, to prove what they are spending or what they are charging for us. And I don't think any of our clients, registrars or registrants, are doing that to us as registries. So let's... They come to you and they ask
you... I'm going to send you
from the line. They ask for it, but do you actually prove what they are costing you? Really? Oh, so we're not that bad off then.
So
that's one. And on your question, but I think it's already been answered, just doubling is not going to be anywhere close to a solution. I think we have to look at the other framework, the framework under how we, if these are the costs that we are ready to bear, how we as a community come up with the money to do so. Just doubling, I would say no way, because we have just significantly increased our contribution to ICANN because of this whole process taking so long and us having the idea that we were lagging behind a bit in contribution. So the only idea of doubling gives me, I should have waited, because now I'll double my increase if I'm not careful.
Okay, so I agree, and I have certainly seen the increase in the contribution you meant, and perhaps I was getting ahead of myself, and that's why I talked about the capacity of the community. And looking at the numbers, maybe I'm taking a jump ahead of the group, but it's almost $4 million based on that framework. We're paying almost $2 million today, and therefore it is roughly a doubling for the community. I never suggested that each one of us has to double the check we write today. I'm saying, what my question was, does the community, in our view, have the capacity or the tolerance for what we have just seen as a framework, which is suggesting close to a $4 million expense associated with the benefits we receive overall from ICANN. So I'm not saying you need to double your check today. I'm saying, does the community have the capacity that over some period, with some phase in, is it going to be able to support the numbers that we've seen? I think if we now move to the next agenda item, which is where you're going, and Mathieu, I'll come to you before we go there, that's around the distribution model. How are we going to find some equitable or at least reasonable way of allocating that number, whatever it is we finally agree upon? Mathieu.
Yes, I understand the logic. I don't want to push back on it. But it's coming back to my previous point about current situation, target situation. We have roughly 4 million we're discussing, and it's roughly two specific, two shared. I'm just oversimplifying. Your shared cost going to go down significantly, very significantly, in my opinion, if we project with the new DTLDs. Therefore, I would recommend, in terms of communication out of this group, that we do not stress the doubling factor too much too soon, because it's a very simple statement, very easy to impress in people's minds, and until we're more settled, we should still be careful about this. What I gather is we're currently covering roughly the specific costs. That's good news. That's already good news. We have discussions about the shared costs today, tomorrow, that where we may have a gap to cover in a certain period of transition. But let's be careful not to communicate too soon about the extent of this gap until we have better knowledge about it. That would be my advice.
I agree, and that's item number 5, tactics, timing, and messaging. I completely agree. And that's why that framework, which today shows that number, it will change over time. We're going to get to the tactics, timing, and messaging in a few minutes. So let's hold that thought and come back to it, because you're right. And there's a delicate balance to be held between selling the message and the path forward internally to our community as well as the rest of the community, board, GAC, other elements of the community, while not creating a false expectation. But if we get a framework that has those keys and multipliers in it that we've seen, and the ratios in those keys change, it will be, I think you're correct, to our benefit over time. But we can still deliver a message about the path that we've taken, which would support the numbers that we've seen. And we'll come to the tactics and timing later. Roloff, did you have? You don't have?
I think Mathieu was, or at least he was confusing me again. I think that I understood that the specific expenses were just under $1 million. So we're covering those.
He was using poetic license there. Yeah.
Okay.
It is specific as $1 million.
And the other is almost
2.7, almost 3.
And the $1 million, so we're already covering, and then some.
Yes, because the thing is, if we think about the numbers that have been bandied around by ICANN for quite some time, in fact, the rationale why this working group was formed is all of the global costs were being lumped on us. ICANN has walked away. Fadi, on March 18th, walked away from that. So that's a pretty significant, I would say, a very significant win for our community. But yes, that leaves us with the $1 million specific and arguably 2.7 more in shared, which is what we're really talking about now. Like, fundamentally, that's what this discussion is coming down to, that 2.7 and the framework behind it. That being said, let's move into agenda item number 4. Just being cognizant of the time, we have about 34 minutes left in this meeting. It was scheduled the quarter after. Right, so I'm saying in total we have just over 30 minutes left in this meeting, of which we need to bring Xavier back for a part of it. So item number 4 is the distribution model framework. Pardon me. So fundamentally, you know, there's a core assumption. It will always be volunteer contribution. That's unquestioned. We have to recognize that there are organizations with very different capacities and very different numbers of domains under management. The long tail, as we've talked about, so the model that we have to, the distribution model has to recognize that. We don't want a one-size-fits-all, but to some degree we at least have to have a single model, I would argue, that would most likely be an evolution of the banded model that we've already seen, which was created in our residence historian 2006, something like that. Obviously, in internet time, that's about, 42 years? So times have changed significantly. I've done some just general modeling, and I'd be happy to share it at some other time in terms of the specific numbers. But I think it's fair to say that we would likely have to increase the number of bands because we have CCs with 13 million domains and CCs with less than 10,000 domains. So we need to recognize that in terms of the number of bands and also potentially the breadth of the bands. At a certain point, there has to be just for example, an over 5 million category, recognizing there should be an under 10,000 or an under 50,000 as small registries who, and I take your point, domains under management isn't necessarily the only metric, but if we're going to use a proxy, and that's what the tiering is, it's a proxy, that is also a proxy for capacity to pay. We need to have a cap, recognize the minimums with very limited capacity to pay, and increase the number of tiers and try to find a more graduated path from bottom to top. Does that seem reasonable? Any objections to that? I think that's consistent with the path that we've taken thus far. So then if we agree with that, it's really just a question of coming to what are the tiers and then what are the recommended contribution numbers associated with the tier. Is that fair? Everybody nod in agreement? All right. Rolla?
And I think we should also be conscious that theoretically we are going to face a new challenge, and that is that we might get more money in than the calculation comes up, than comes out of the calculation.
I'm not. Can you?
So if you have this banded, voluntary banded model, and because we now have a reasonable figure by ICANN, we might overshoot the financial target. It's a theoretic problem, but we never had that because they were always telling us that we should pay more. But what is going to happen when, in the end, every CC that wants to pay has paid, and in total this amount comes up with 5.5 million? What do we do then? Are we going to ask ICANN to refund and then we redistribute the money back, or do you get my point?
I certainly understand the theoretical construct of it.
What was in that coffee you had earlier? I should think that extremely unlikely, because surely the total from the banding should add up to the sum that we've been given. And I think it extremely unlikely that everyone in the banding would pay what they should be paying. Yeah.
So let me just address that. Now that ICANN has tipped its hand, right? So this is really the first time ICANN has tipped its hand and said, here's the number. So whether we're going to actually, in the end, agree with that specific number, at least now we can use it as a working assumption and can build the bands accordingly so that the number that drops out is the theoretical maximum. We know that not 100% of us are going to pay. We know there will be free riders. So we know that the likelihood, therefore we know that the likelihood of overshooting is somewhere between slim and none.
I think now we're oversimplifying, because we have the fee banded model. And the present model says if your size is between this and that, you can maybe pay between such and so, between such and so. So how are we going to have such a model which will, if we calculate, gives us a fixed amount, because we don't know where people or where registries are going to choose in a fee band. Are they going to be at the end? Are they going to be the beginning? Are they going to choose the middle? And so that we will only know how much money will be paid after it has been paid. And it can be less, but it, theoretically it can be more also. I wouldn't be completely...
Theoretically, you're right. In reality, many people will accept the lower part of the band if you are given a choice. Can I also raise up another point? I think we really need to change the free rider term, because I think that's just terrible. I think there are people who cannot yet pay, and there are people who can pay but choose not to. The different things.
Agreed, but I think part of the discussion should also be around motivating people who enjoy the benefit to participate financially. And that's why I also suggested that there's got to be some level that perhaps, and I'm just throwing these out, under 10,000, under 50,000, some number where perhaps there is no fee, recognizing that potentially the capacity to pay is limited. And I wouldn't call that a free rider, but I think there are registries who without a doubt have the capacity to pay, receive the benefit, and elect to contribute nothing.
Agreed, but that's the could pay and won't, which is different. So, you know, I don't think there should be a zero in the banding, because the number of domains doesn't necessarily determine that you're going to be a, I'd like to pay, but I haven't got any money, or I could pay, but I'm not going to. Don't. Yeah. I think we need to think about the terminology, that's all. And I agree with the general sentiment that if you should be able to pay, then it would be good if you could.
Bart?
Just looking ahead, say at some point in time, this working group will produce a final report. One of the things is, say, this is where you want to include this terminology, that's one. But also, and this is going back to, say, when we started the meeting, is if you look at the global bucket, and that's, you know, I know Xavier is stressing it, and I'm stressing it as well, it is the recognition, and that should be documented in the final report as well, is there are items in the global bucket on both sides, and that needs to be very well documented in order, and this is going back to the messaging as well.
Very short point to echo Leslie's, and it's more about tactics and communication rather than substance, but naming and shaming may be an effective policy at some point, but we're far from that now. So that's why I really think that the word free rider should be avoided, even within this group, because it carries a very negative meaning that we are not actually sharing at this stage. And of course, outside of this group, it can have adverse consequences about how our work is perceived, what its actual goal is, and so on. So that's point number 5 on the agenda, I'm aware.
You're much more diplomatic than I, but if free rider is a very problematic term, I don't object to eliminating it for the time being. I will use it judiciously in the future. So what I hear in this room is that there's a general acceptance of the bands, that we are going to be willing to increase the number of them to reflect the wider distribution of registry size, and that, you know, we can put forward a model internally I'll throw out a straw man model to the group by email. In fact, while we're still here. Because really, you know, this is just a matrix. This is an arithmetic matrix, and we can just play with what works now that we actually have a number for the, quote, the bottom right. Peter?
Just a reflection on the distribution model, and it partially refers also to the question whether this community has the capacity. I'm not necessarily speaking for the center community, but from the information I got from my colleagues from other regional organizations, I think it's important not to expect too much from that long tail, especially from the, say, 60% of the long tail that's most to the right. In APTLD, there are members that have trouble paying $100. I know regional organizations sending out yearly invoices for membership of $50. So if you're looking at that size of invoices, which is what those people in that very right side part of the long tail can pay, it will hardly make any difference. Just as a cautious note, don't expect too much from that. And they're willing to pay, but they can't.
Okay. Well, I'll put out a matrix, and then we can have some further debate about that. But at least now we actually have a number to work with. ICANN has finally provided that bottom right number that we can reverse engineer a banded model from, at least to get started with. And then Lise will validate that the numbers are correct. Keith?
Can I just say in that regard that I don't think we need to nickel and dime this. This is not about checking the last $50 or $25. This is only to look for matters of real substance and significant miscosting. So I think if you were looking for $50,000 plus oddities, that would be what would be appropriate to be looking at. Just
Thank you, Keith. I think that's a good point to keep in mind. I want to move to agenda item number 5. Unless there's any final comment. Finally, we're going to get there. Bart, not yet. Let's have 5 minutes internally. Okay. So we have about 20 minutes left, and I wanted to talk about tactics and messaging and timing around starting to disseminate the information, assuming we get to a tiered model that we can agree on, and we validate the ICANN expenses. So there are a number of communities that we have to deal with or that we want to be able to disseminate the information to, and they're going to need different messages. There's the GAC, who has paid significant attention to this, certainly the board itself, our community, the CCNSO and the broader CCTLD community, which is going to have a very wide range of opinions likely. We're only a microcosm of it here, and there's certainly a breadth of opinions within this room. And then there are the other supporting organizations who will definitely have opinions on what we're doing. So I think we want to be able to communicate the message in the most effective way. We have issues like, are we going to double it? Do we want to lead with that message? No, probably not. However, within certain communities, showing a framework that end result could be possible is a message that we wouldn't necessarily want to take off the table. So who we're going to communicate to, I think we want to be very conscious and very specific about it. And what that message is exactly is going to vary between those different communities, though, of course, there's a common thread that has to get woven through all of them. In terms of timing, I know that we have all enjoyed this discussion for some time, but I would like to propose that we try to be able to get to a point where we put a recommendation to the council forward in Durban. I don't think that's unreasonable. I think we're quite close to it. ICANN has provided what we needed them to and what we've been asking for quite some time, and now it's just a question of backing out the final model, of which we have general agreement on the framework. So if that's the end goal, which is mid-July, then we can start to back out the specific elements, like agreeing on the tiers, validating ICANN's number, and then getting to the point of what is the messaging that we want to deliver to each community. So that's what I see in terms of timing, and then to some degree the exact messages are going to be about the tactics of delivering a message which is most conducive to getting us to the end goal, which is a satisfactory contribution method. Mathieu, I know you're dying to talk about this in some way, shape, or form. I want to open the floor?
Yes.
Okay, good. Any other comments? Input into how we should be delivering, who we should be delivering to, or the timing of it? Lise?
Well, I don't know if I'm very well into the procedures according to the rest of the CCNSO group, but don't we want to discuss this with the group, or is that scheduled for this your presentation then, or when will we have a? You don't put that before for the group before the council.
Normally what you see, on progress, there will be a meeting on Tuesday. And if you go to Durban, is normally what you see is the community is consulted before it goes onto the council agenda in order to inform the council whether to adopt it, yes or no. It's, say, the council meetings are Wednesday afternoon, and the real discussion is taking place on Tuesday or during the CCNSO meetings on Tuesday and before on Wednesday before the council meeting. The question is whether you think, but that's again tactics, whether you think you want more time between the consultation of the members and the council decision itself. Because, but that's...
I think that if we can come to the Tuesday morning meeting, or the CCNSO meeting in general, where we provide our update, if we can come to a general conclusion here that, you know, this banded model is reasonable, the ICANN number is validated and not unreasonable, that if we can deliver that message this Tuesday, that we will have put the marker down, that we are close, that here is the potential model, that we are validating the ICANN number, that our expectation is broader feedback and input in Durban, but with setting the expectation that if there is a positive outcome or positive feedback from the community, the Finance Working Group will be recommending it to the council in Durban. And that in the interim, we'll be able to provide to the community any documentation to support it, which would include the matrix and however we're going to present the numbers that ICANN has done. I don't think that it is unreasonable in terms of a time frame to get there. Now, of course, the community may, say, disagree, and then that will no doubt change the timeline. But we've been keeping this community well informed along the way. I don't think there's anybody in the CCNSO who's going to say that, oh, this is a surprise. And I don't think that anything we've done here is unreasonable. I think that, you know, we've gotten ICANN to take the global expenses off the table. They have presented shared that are reasonable, specific that are reasonable. They have bought into the notion of a value exchange. And that's something we haven't really even talked much in detail yet, but I think there's a lot big opportunity to highlight that and the work that this community is doing. if we do that well and message that well, I don't see why we can't come to a recommendation in Durban. Mathieu.
Just clarification. In your in this scenario, would you expect a council, city municipal council vote by Durban, or would this be putting the recommendation on the council table in Durban and then leaving some space for feedback on the wider, from the wider community until a later vote from the council? Because I think that's two scenarios where there needs to be messages sent out to other communities rather than the participants, first of all. The ICANN meeting participants, there are CCTLDs that do not regularly participate to ICANN meetings. There's time needed to interact with the board, to interact with the CAC. There would be, I think, an interest in at least one exchange with the GAC, one point on the GAC CTNSO agenda on this. So maybe a scenario where we put a recommendation on the table by Durban, it is discussed with various stakeholders in Durban, and then there's some time to gather feedback and a later vote by the CTNSO Council. Maybe it would be more reasonable, more achievable, and it would. I have a slight concern that if people push back because they feel it's closing, and we haven't had time to look at this recommendation precisely. Leslie certainly has a better view.
Leslie,
I have two sort of thoughts on this. Wouldn't it be nice not to be talking about this, because we've been talking about this for so many years and waiting for information for so long, etc. And I think we do have a window of opportunity for getting it done and dusted and sorted and packed away. But equally, I think for somebody who hasn't been following this conversation for as long as we have, it's still going to come as a shock. And they're still going to need to do some thinking and so on. So I think I'm with Mathieu in the sense that even though this has been on the agenda for a long time, people are going to need to do some thinking about it and buying into the route forward. And that sometimes takes longer than maybe one would like.
That would still be mean for the group going into promotion of the recommendation mode and no longer working on the recommendation itself and the report by Durban and making this major shift that we get into selling mode and no longer into forensics.
All right, well, we don't want to rush into anything here. So, duly noted, maybe I'm an optimist. I would like to be able to present a recommendation in Durban that makes clear what the finance working group thinks or its opinion. If we need more time for socialization in that we can't present and get a vote, then potentially so be it. But I think this working group should be in a position to make a recommendation by Durban, start signaling this this ICANN meeting, both internally in the CCNSO in terms of being able to provide the updates that we can, as well as given the opportunities in the coming meeting that we have with the board, et cetera, to start signaling this and setting an expectation that a recommendation will be coming forward in Durban, but not necessarily a vote until we've had such time to socialize it. Is that Keith?
What about the opportunity to socialise through webinars and the intervening? I mean, I know it's a very short intervening period, but just to get a discussion going, maybe having Centre and APTLD and others organise their local groups, which may involve CCTLDs who are not CCNSO members, and doing a webinar of an hour or two and just talking about the issue. Maybe that would give additional comfort going into Durban to be more prepared to make decisions.
I think there's a number of tactics that we could use. That's certainly a good idea. I guess my sense is we can probably bring the CCNSO along because, you know, they've heard where we're at and the issues every single meeting for the last 2 years. That's not necessarily the case, fair point, with some of the other communities. And that's why I say I think internally we should be able to get to the point of recommendation, but perhaps we need a little more socialization time, which would theoretically take us where do we go after that?
May I suggest we take this bit offline and see where we can have a shared strategy with Xavier.
Sure. So just so I bring Xavier up to speed, we've been having some discussion about making the assumption that we have agreement on what that bottom right number is, and you haven't necessarily seen it, but the banded model that we're going to use, which we're going to update and refine to reflect a much more diverse CCTLD community. Making the assumption that we get the conclusion there, which I think we're close, then how do we start to roll out the message so that we can, in our world, the successful conclusion is a positive vote by the council saying, yes, this is the path that we want to take forward. Feedback that we've had internally here is that doing that in Durban might not provide enough time for socialization within the other communities in particular, be it the GNSO, the board itself, the GAC, and that ideally, this working group would be in a position in Durban to be putting a recommendation forward, though not necessarily a council vote on it. What are your thoughts from a management and board perspective in terms of any expectations or feedback that you may have heard?
I think from a NICAN management standpoint, let me put it this way. I think it's a little bit of a formality to for me and Bart to just feedback Akram and Fadi and say where we're at, what we've done, you know, the model, the ending result, an overview, and I'm expecting a complete agreement to just move forward. And I think what they will care more about is that there's an agreement from a CCNSO standpoint. And then I think they will also care about how do we socialize that across the communities, because you just mentioned what is the success for success and completion from your perspective. From my perspective, it's communication and if not agreement, at least acknowledgement of the result that ICANN and the CCNSO together have reached, which, you know, I mean, with a multi-stakeholder model, I'm not expecting that everyone is going to say, great, guys, let's celebrate, right? But at least if there's, okay, it moved forward, there's a process that's been completed, I think that's a substantial, satisfying completion. So management, I'm not worried. I think the board, I've communicated since Prague last year with the board on a fairly regular basis. The BFC first, and then the board. So the board is aware that there's a process, like everybody else. I think they're just waiting that it gets completed. So I'm not worried with that part of the socialization of the idea and the model. I think they are just looking for completion. I would say nearly whatever the amount, right? I think they want the process to be completed under the assumption that the process has been a collaboration between us and that we all agree.
Thank you, Xavier. Mathieu?
Yeah, I think Xavier made an important distinction about what the target outcome and success criteria are. Of course, the approval by the CCNSO Council is our mandate. But I think we can set an even higher expectation of ourselves if we say basically the goal is that this discussion is closed for years, like 5 years, let's say 5 years. And no one challenges it anymore for 5 years. And we don't have to convene another finance working group for 5 years. To reach that, we need a CCNSO council approval, and we at least need, what Xavier said, acknowledgement by other constituencies, or even if we want to exceed our expectations, we have a board vote, or we put it into the bylaws, whatever you call it, that just puts the issue at rest. And that is why I was mentioning the fact that we need to take time before the council recommendation, the council approval, to make sure the CCNSO council approves something that is accepted by others and puts and closes the discussion. That is, I think, there was no willingness on my side, at least, to delay the approval, but I want this approval to be final. And we can spend a big part of our Sunday afternoons at ICANN meetings going forward, visiting things.
Perhaps I was overly exuberant. Okay, so recognizing that we have 1 minute left in this meeting, I think we've had we made very good progress with ICANN, as we've already talked about, and within this meeting we have a path forward, which is comprised of a few elements. One is Lise is going to do a deep forensic dive into the bowels of the ICANN GL. Yeah, and I'm going to leave it to Lise and Xavier to find a date while we're here to get comfort around that. I am going to put forward a straw man matrix in terms of the bands and solicit feedback, so I'm hoping what I put forward will be entirely reasonable and the feedback will be all positive. And we're also going to have to work towards what is a more detailed communications and outreach plan. And I'm going to need to think that through a little bit more and also take feedback that we can talk about over the course of this week. And any written feedback, please feel free to communicate with me in terms of any suggestions there. So those are the core go-forward activities that I see. Bart?
One, and this is more for us in this case as ICANN staff, is if you look at the framework, is not the details, but is making it more time sensitive, say over a 5 year period, mm-hmm. What can we expect over 5 years? It's what we discussed while you were in the room, say, Mathieu's suggestion.
Xavier?
From the perspective of getting feedback on the way forward, a suggestion on communication, I want to make sure that on our end we have a consistent communication approach and message. And so it will be helpful to me to understand what you intend or think needs to be shared with who and when, so that I'm having a consistent approach. So let me take an example. If I come out of this room and talk to Chris and Mike, and they ask me, so where are we at? I want to make sure I don't say anything that's inconsistent with what message you will want to have from an official finance working group standpoint. So I'd rather be managing that you and I can connect on what the outcome is so that we can synchronize that.
Okay.
Fair enough. So, please, you're going to do further validation. I will put forward a straw man matrix. I seek further input in terms of communications tactics. And Xavier is going to put together a couple of scenarios that extend this framework. I think we're satisfied with the framework we see, but extend it over time. Is that the path forward? Okay. Any final comments? Hearing none? Oh.
Sorry. It's not a comment. It's a question. Are we going to discuss your model in a phone and in a conference call, or are we going to do that just on email?
We will have some unknown yet the number, but we will certainly have ongoing finance working group conference calls between here and Durban. And I'll work with staff to put that the timing of that together. But without a doubt, there'll be a couple of finance working group calls between here and Durban. But, you know, the one thing is I do regularly say, please feel free to send me feedback. I rarely get any, so please feel free to share your thoughts and inputs with me in the interim. With that, I will call the meeting closed. Thank you very much.